Welcome, everybody. It's nice to see all these wonderful smiling faces after a long summer break. It's good to see everybody back. So we will go ahead and move forward with the AMAS Policy Committee meeting of Thursday, September 21st, 2017. Somebody told me I was late. I still have 13:30 on my clock, so.
You're good.
Yep,
thank you. Do we have a quorum?
Yes.
We have a quorum. Is there any audience participation? All right. Item two, minutes, May 25th. Wow, that was a long time ago, huh? Leaves are already turning. May 25th, 2017. Questions, comments, concerns about the minutes? Entertain a motion to accept as written.
So moved.
I have a motion from Richfield. Do I have a second? I have a second from Mr. Harrison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same? Hearing none, motion carries. Item reports. Financial progress report, attachment 3A.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you see attachment 3A, it'll actually mimic what you're going to see in resolution 2017-11. Because it is the year end, ending at the end of July. What you'll see is we spent about 70% of our budget. We have added some new staff, so we're expecting to be in good shape moving forward. They'll cut in some of our carryover. We also were able to purchase a new vehicle this year, which was helpful as our price receiving from 2004 was starting to wear itself down.
Couldn't get another year out of it.
With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, and if not, welcome to approve.
Questions, comments, concerns?
Eric, would you buy the replacement?
What's that?
Would you buy the replacement?
Ford Escape 2016. So.
Okay.
Move to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same? Hearing none, motion carries. Letter B, technical progress report.
All right, really briefly, biggest thing is our AMATS annual meeting is October 6th. You are all invited. We hope you can all come. It's going to be a pretty interesting time this year. We've got a former mayor of Madison, Wisconsin, Dave Cheslovic, coming. He was pretty instrumental in kind of changing the perception of Madison in terms of cold weather city, looking at alternative modes of transportation. Things like that. So we're excited to have him speaking. We're also going to do a panel on some of the projects locally that were really, I think, transformative, looking at the Front Street reopening in Cuyahoga Falls, the Interbelt project in Akron, and the Summit Street project in Kent. So we're going to have a panel with some of our technical folks to talk a little bit about that and kind of the challenges of doing something a little bit different. So I anticipate that being very interesting as well, so we hope you can all attend. On the federal level, there's not much to report when it comes to transportation funding. I think we're, I think any optimism's probably waned in terms of expecting any kind of funding. The last proposals that we've even seen or heard of really amount to very little new public infrastructure dollars that would come through us. We've discussed internally that, the public-private model that's kind of being floated out there right now is really a non-starter for Northeast Ohio as a whole because we just don't have the growth or the assets that are going to be leased in for, that could potentially make a private investor a certain percentage. So, we're cautiously watching those kind of developments, and luckily we are funded through the fiscal year 2020 with the FAST Act. So if nothing happens, we still have that in our allocations that exist right now. So, but with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Hearing none, thank you. Item 3C, AMATS. Federal Funds Report, Attachment 3C.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. AMATS received 15 CMAQ applications this summer, totaling over $45 million. The projects have been analyzed and scored by Amy Prater and myself, and the final list was sent down to the Central Committee in Columbus a couple weeks ago on September 8th. And actually, we have a meeting tomorrow to with the statewide CMAC committee to discuss all the projects statewide. So I'm certainly going to lobby for as many of your projects as we can possibly get funded. The TAC TIP subcommittee met this past Tuesday. Some of the items we discussed were the CMAC applications, and then we also talked about over-programming. We want to make sure we don't leave any money on the table, and we kind of want to get a good system in place where we can have some resurfacing projects that we can quickly move up if those vacancies do happen. Which leads me to the next topic, the funding program balances. 2018 shows a balance of over $6 million, which isn't good. However, since the handout was printed, we learned about a sizable project that may move up into 18. Plus, we've learned of some needs that other MPOs have that we could loan, if we still have a balance that we could loan the money to. So we should be okay, even though it doesn't look like it at the moment. And last but not least, the STBG and TASA applications will be available Monday, this coming Monday, on our website. And I may also just send out an email to all of you with the applications. However, we've had some issues with sending out a mass email, so for sure they will be posted. And once again, STBG is a new name for STP, and TASA is a new name for TAP. So they always have to change it up with each new transportation bill. So that's pretty much it on the federal funding. Federal funding reported. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
And Dave, I think importantly that we'll be accepting applications until October 31st, Halloween, is when the applications are due. So
you've
got about 5 weeks to...
Yeah, and I'd like to mention one more thing that's different this year for some of you that that have been in this for a while. We're not doing letters of intent this year, just the application. So you don't have to worry about any letters of intent like we have in previous years.
Any further questions? Thank you. Moving forward, number four, old business. There is none. Number five, new business. Appointment of TAC TIP subcommittee representative, attachment 5A.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is more of a notice. When the policy committee approved in May our new funding policy, it did include adding three new members to the TAC TIP subcommittee by appointment via the chairman. Each one of those appointments was to represent different size communities. Speaking with Mayor Broska, the following appointments have been made. Mayor Rick Justice of Lakemoor is appointed to serve for representing villages smaller than 5,000 population. Ernie Staten, Fairlawn Service Director, representing communities between 5,000 and 10,000. And Bob Finney from Ravenna, representing communities between 10,000 and 20,000 populations. So all three of these folks were made known of their memberships and are participating, and these terms will last 2 years until our next round of funding. So we look forward to them participating in that subcommittee with our other members. So that's if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Hearing none. Moving forward, item 5B, regional job hubs and transportation.
All right, thank you. So what I'd like to do is we're going to give a little presentation on something that AMETS began working on with the Fund for Our Economic Future and some of the research that they were doing that was looking at basically employment in our region, where it was, what type of employment it is, and looking at sort of where our infrastructure is related to it, and potential concerns that we should have, and as a policy committee, I thought it was interesting data, interesting information, stuff that we should, I think, consider. And I want to just provide it to you. Peter Trug is with the Fund for Economic Future. He's going to talk a little bit about their side of the equation. And then we'll talk a little bit about kind of the what we've developed and what we've seen in the data. So, I mean, obviously when we're talking about job hubs, I think we have to acknowledge that transportation influences and is also influenced by economic development decisions. Sometimes we're building the roads and hoping for economic development. Sometimes we're building the roads because the economic development has happened and we're trying to play catch-up. I think what we've seen, especially when you talk about transit issues, is some concerns about job access, both for businesses and employees in terms of how easy is it to get to some of those places, especially if you don't have a vehicle. And I think one of the things that we wanted to look at was just having a better understanding. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit at our funding policy when we were discussing the funding policy is, you know, economic development is a very ambiguous thing. And sometimes we've had our membership say, well, we should consider economic development as part of our funding. And I think we've never really wrapped our heads around what that even would look like or what that means. And so what we wanted to look at was just, you know, okay, with this data, are there things that we want to consider in terms of the way that AMATS as a body makes decisions? And basically, so when we looked at these issues, and Fund for Economic Future was doing some work on this, we partnered together, and I'm going to let Peter talk a little bit about what they're doing, and then, like I said, we'll go back and talk, show you a little bit about what we've seen with our employment data in our two panels. So,
thanks, Curtis. Yeah. So just to introduce myself, my name is Peter, as Chris mentioned. I work at the Fund for Economic Future. I lead a lot of the fund's research work, so helping to spotlight issues around Northeast Ohio that the fund sees as important, and then talking about them and communicating the importance of why we see these things mattering for the regional economy here. So we'll be talking a little bit about the way in which the fund sees this question of job access, some of the challenges that we see within that space, and then we'll talk a little bit about some of the work that we've been doing locally here to think about the implications of that for some of the Portage counties. But before I hop in, just a real quick on what the Fund for Economic Future is. So the fund is an alliance of regional philanthropic organizations who collectively pool their money to work on issues of growth and opportunity. So how can we support economic growth, economic competitiveness in Northeast Ohio, while also providing equitable access to opportunity for the people who live across our region? We do that work across the four MSAs of Northeast Ohio, so Cleveland, Akron, Youngstown, and Canton. And our membership comes from each of those places. We do the work by focusing largely within these three circles that you see up here. And for those who the light might be a little bit challenging to read, those are job creation. So the fund supports initiatives that help create jobs. We've been funders of Team Northeast Ohio, Jumpstart, Bio Enterprise, Magnet, over the course of our time. So it needs to be jobs. People need to be ready for those jobs. That's what that blue bucket is over there, job preparation. And then people need to be able to get to the jobs that exist. And so that's this orange circle down here, job access, which through that work is what led us to some of the stuff that we'll be talking about today. So when we say job access, how do we think about understanding this issue and what it means for people and businesses in our economy? One of the interesting and helpful pieces of research that's emerged from Brookings Institute, this Washington-based organization, they looked at, over time, for residents across the country, the number of jobs that existed close to those people, within an average commuting distance of those people. And they looked at how that number was changing over time. Are there more jobs closer to residents in MSAs around the country, or are there fewer? They did a study, looked at 96 places, and across the board, Northeast Ohio and Akron were among the worst performers in terms of having jobs and people located close to one another. Of the 96 they studied, Akron ranked 84th. Cleveland was last place, 96th, and Youngstown was 81st. So none of the regions, you know, a number to be proud of. And these patterns They create a lot of challenges, Chris alluded to, for people who live in our region and for businesses that are located here, this disconnect between where people live and where jobs are located. So for people, one of the ways that we think about it is in terms of the cost that it leads them to spend getting to work. So what this chart is showing is for cities across the region, I highlighted Akron here, but the case bears out wherever you look. Residents in Northeast Ohio and Akron are spending a greater share of their income on transportation than they do on housing. The share of income spent on transportation is this dark green bar. Kind of across the board, it's around 25%. And in most of these cities, that bar is larger than the amount of the people's income that's spent on housing. As people and jobs are separated, it's leading our residents to spend a lot of money trying to get to and from where they're going. And it manifests as an economic burden for the people who live in our communities. It also, so it impacts people, right? It creates challenges for people to connect to the economy. It also manifests from a business perspective. So there was an interesting survey done by Team Northeast Ohio. They surveyed over 300 businesses across Northeast Ohio and asked those businesses, when it comes to making a new employee successful, what's the number one challenge that you face? What's the hardest thing for you guys to do? And they asked for everything on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the most difficult thing. And on average, the most challenging thing that these businesses responded with was having people attend regularly, show up ready to work on time. And so there are many things that will surely influence that response, but I think it's clear that having access to regular, reliable transportation is a factor in having that response come to the top. And so we see these trends, right? We see Northeast Ohio performing poorly compared to other parts of the country in terms of connecting people and jobs. We see the implications it has for residents of our communities. We see the implications it has for businesses and their ability to connect with and attract talent. Led us to the question of, okay, well, if we're going to think about how we might begin to address this issue and improve this picture, it would be helpful to understand a picture of where we're at today. So we can all be starting from a common point of ground. And so that was some of the work that initially led us to work with Curtis and Amaz around identifying the location of these job hubs today. So where are there significant jobs in the economy? And then you can begin to think about what that means and the implications of that. So as we were doing the work, I sat in the conference room at the library downtown and put up a bunch of maps on the wall. And we looked for places that met these criteria that you can see on the board here. And Curtis will talk through some of the process that we went through and provide a little more color about locally what emerged from this. But in general, we were looking for places that had a clear sort of shape and contiguous nature to their development. Right? We were looking for clear places that had lots of employment. A number of different businesses, right? So you had some clustering of activity, a sense of place, assets and infrastructure that were attractive to those businesses. And we were focusing in particular on what we call the traded sector of the economy. And so I'll talk about the last thing I'll mention is what that is. But we were generally looking for places that met these criteria as a way to understand, right, if we're going to think about how to address this issue of job access, it would be helpful to understand where things are today. These are the criteria that we were looking at in painting that current state picture. And the last thing I'll mention before I turn back to Curtis is around this traded sector point. It's not a term that I was familiar with when I started working in this space. So I imagine many in the room may not have heard it before, and just therefore just wanted to explain what it is. When we say we were looking particularly at where traded sector jobs and traded sector companies are located, what that means is we're looking for companies that are able to buy and sell their goods and services more broadly than just in the local economy. So some typical examples would be like a manufacturing company, right? They can sell whatever widget they produce to a consumer locally here, to somebody else in the region, state, country, etc. A business services company would be the same type of thing. They can sell their service independent and outside of the local geography here. you can think of this sector in opposition to the like local or population serving sector that has a lot more retail, food, businesses that are much more dependent and kind of drive their revenues and business from the local population. Both are really important, and both are integral to having a sense of place in a vibrant community. From an economic development perspective, though, some of the figures that you can see up here kind of point to the outsized effect that the trading sector can have on helping to drive a thriving regional economy. The firms in these industries tend to pay a significant amount more than those in the local sector. Those businesses, through that creation of wealth, the bringing of supply chains here, tend to create spillover jobs in the economy. And by and large, if you look at the ability for people to get access to these jobs, there's a variety of entry points and accessibility that you can see in these types of companies too. So as I flip it back to Curtis, and he'll talk a little bit about some of the more local work that we did, this is just a little bit of rationale as to why we were focused on this particular sector of the economy when we sort of launched this work a couple months ago.
And I think what's kind of interesting about it for us is just knowing where are these places right now that exist in Akron and in the greater Akron area, and you know, what are there things, because we have the ability to invest, are there ways that we can work with other agencies to enhance them? Because these are obviously the types of jobs we want in our region, more so than retail, et cetera. So for us, and I apologize, the screen's a little small, but this is sort of where our map came from. I think there's some obvious ones in here. Twinsburg is, you know, the Twinsburg Township that even connecting into Macedonia along the Highland Road area contains a lot of these jobs. The Goodyear area, Green has two of them, one near the airport, one near one closer to the center of Green. We've got Firestone, Gilchrist Road, Brimfield, and then Aurora, Streetsboro, and then Richfield as well. It's also some of these pockets where we've seen over 1,000 jobs are floating around and exist that are all really beneficial to our economy. And I think what we've seen, and basically, so these hubs contain about 50% of all the traded jobs in the two county areas. So it makes them even more important, I think, from the standpoint of, you know, and I mean, obviously, we think about things like job access, how people get to those, but also, are these stable job hubs? Are they able to grow? Do they have what they need to continue to attract employees and new jobs? This is a little dark, but if you can't tell, that's actually Twinsburg. That shows just the picture of, you can almost see even from where I'm sitting, the amount of warehouse, the amount of, you know, bigger box buildings that exist. You can see there's still some available land out there near Route 8. And unfortunately, this probably won't come up really well. Well, yeah, there's, yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So.
Don't
build
there.
Yeah. Fine. Somebody wanted to put a mall there, though, at one point, too. So it could happen. And just, I thought, while this doesn't pop out very well, a really interesting thing about Twinsburg from 1970 is the Chrysler plant was already there in 1970. This area was developing. This isn't something that happened overnight. This is something 40, 50 years of development have taken place that have created these job hubs. So this isn't something that's like, you know, I hesitate to even call it sprawl because, well, maybe when Chrysler showed up it was, but reality, all these businesses and things popped up around these major job centers that were manufacturing. And what we see, I think, when we look at our region is a lot of manufacturing still. We're, you know, very strong from manufacturing base. What you'll see is that, you know, healthcare is considered a traded sector job, which I think could be debated, especially the smaller local healthcare that you get to. But what you see is that really, Twinsburg itself is one of the largest job hubs in our region if you take out the healthcare component. What you'll also see is that a lot, you know, that they're really dispersed throughout our two county area, and some of the areas where they're growing, I think we're seeing some of that growth in the Brimfield area, the Green area, Richfield, all those places. I think we're seeing the ability to develop and potentially add more jobs. The interesting thing, and this kind of gets to when you're talking about like the job access part, and especially if you're trying to attract people that don't have a college degree, the areas that are shrinking employment-wise in the job hubs tend to be the ones located near the central cities or in the central cities. So where we're seeing shrinking job hub employment numbers over the last 12 years has been in those central cores, whereas the growth is happening on the more suburban style ones, which I think is really important to note because, especially from an access perspective for transit, right now it's a lot easier and there's more resources going to, you know, the ability to serve the ones in the older communities is easier than the ones to serve outside of it. But there's definitely, you see a need outside in the surrounding suburban job hubs. And again, kind of to reiterate that, you know, you see where the fastest growing hubs are. They're in the darker green. It's primarily Aurora, Streetsboro, the Hudson Stowe, Akron Airport, Canton Akron Airport down in green. And what you can kind of make out in here is that highway investments do, you know, obviously have played roles in those decisions. We're talking about State Route 8, I-480, I-76, et cetera, and how those have played a role over time in terms of determining where some of these hubs are. And so I think, you know, one of the reasons that I thought it was informative and I thought it was worth bringing up is just because I think what we've seen is that, you know, we have these well-established hubs, and, you know, as we see as development happens and we're looking at potentially future hubs, those are things that will also demand new infrastructure. And so how do we balance, you know, sort of the greenfield development or in areas where we already sort of have the focus of resources in existing job hubs? The transit issue, you know, traditionally it has trouble serving those jobs outside of central cities. How can transit help serve these existing hubs better? And, you know, what can be expected from transit when these new hubs are developed? I think we've heard of new developments kind of happening in greenfields, and then they're like, oh, well, the bus comes out here, doesn't it? It's like, well, no, it doesn't, actually. You know, so what do we need to expect from the transit when we do have job hubs like that need to be served? And then I think it's important understanding, too, like businesses understanding some of the constraints, especially in Northern Summit County. You know, if you're moving from Cuyahoga County to Summit County, you know, do you understand that, you know, GCRTA can't take you into Summit County? It can't take your employees who maybe live in Euclid down to the Beechwood area. Well, those things don't exist down here. We can't serve them. So do, you know, do businesses in our region understand some of the limitations or some of the needs that we need to achieve?
And so, speaking as a transit planner, who deals with these questions and concerns all the time, you know, I'm with PARTA, and so we have, you know, limited pickup service in a portion of our county. We're mostly servicing right now Kent, Ravenna, some areas into Akron and Stowe, and so we've seen a lot of need for areas up into the Streetsboro Aurora area. The challenge we face with serving businesses is that many of them have needs at very specific times, but they're not all the same time. Mm-hmm. Some people need to be served at 5 a.m. and then 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. Or they're all spread out. So to put together a fixed route time frame, getting the people who probably need those jobs in the Kent Ravenna area up into Streetsboro, planning a route when the businesses, they don't have any interest in wanting to align their start times for their workers, is challenging when you're running public transit.
I agree. And I think the reality is that I don't think fixed line transit service is the answer to that.
Right.
I mean, I think that's part of the challenge. It's like, you know, what we're seeing and hearing, and we've talked about this a little bit with Metro RTA, is even, you know, there's the Uber component. There's the, you know, there's these subsidy components that are existing now that didn't exist 3 years ago. You know, is that something that needs to be considered? All the, you know, there's all these different things, but you're right. I mean, what we've seen in our research is this, what do you do about second shift? You know, and when buses are, you know, buses aren't running 24 hours a day, what do you do about second shift, third shift?
And running to be responsible is to run a small bus costs us $36 a trip on average. And that's very expensive.
Right.
And that's, and when you're asking people, usually they pay $4. Our rate right now is $4. So, I mean, our sales tax is never going to subsidize that enough and be able to run around enough to count. I mean, we're the second largest county in the state. So, what is the answer? And I guess you could bring in Uber, but then are people going to be able to afford who are doing lower income jobs from Ravenna to be able to afford $15-$20 to get to work? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no, and that's
they say no.
Right, and what we've seen is just in some places, it's basically the transit agency ends up, or we think regional agencies have subsidized those Uber trips because they save some, like you said, it's $36 versus $15 or $20 or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, no, and we don't pose this as saying that there's an answer, or certainly saying that, well, the transit agencies need to make it happen. I think what it shows regionally is just the challenge of it and the difficulty in serving those places, especially as spread out as they are. You know, so I think, you know, in closing, I think it's just kind of ask some interesting questions that that we wanted to consider. It's just, you know, we're kind of interested in looking back for us and saying, okay, well, how, you know, I'm sure we've made investments in these areas in terms of AMAT's policy committee. You know, we've funded roadway projects in these areas that have helped. But, you know, so, you know, is there a part of decision making where we should be looking at this and thinking about how, you know, these job sectors are a really positive thing in our economy? Also, obviously, like I said, the trade-offs between, you know, well, what happens if new hubs show up and then transit's asked to go one more place, or we're asked to do one more major roadway reconstruction or something like that? And then I think finally, are there opportunities for us to collaborate more with our local communities and agencies when it comes to economic development stuff? I mean, and in some ways, while this probably seems a little bit far-fetched, I mean, it's something that we've done before. This, you know, this board approved $19 million for Goodyear when, you know, Goodyear was able to keep 3,000 jobs in Summit County and right down the street here. If you ride down some of those are some of the roads that AMATS paid for. And I think it's just an interesting question. And I don't honestly bring it to you guys not as having the answer, but I think it's just kind of one showing where we're distributed right now and are there things that we should consider in the future when it comes to how we do certain types of investment, roadway investment, et cetera. I think one of the things that we are going to do is, as we do some of our other planning, we do, you know, freight planning and congestion planning and all that stuff, I think we are going to do some overlays with some of these hubs just to see if there are places where, hey, not only do you have, say, a safety issue or a congestion issue, but it's also in an area where you've got, you know, this much employment, this many jobs, et cetera, just to add to our knowledge base and decision making. But really with that, I just open it up if there are any other comments or questions, and I hope you at least, you know, found it interesting. Yeah, Mayor.
Trade-offs. I still see buses running empty a lot, especially the double buses. And it's always been a problem with me to see that. I see them going out to your town, Girard, and I see them going all over the place. There's nobody on the buses. So maybe, and I know you've got some testing going on, at least, you know, some focus groups trying to straighten that out.
But that's, you're an
Akron. Oh, yeah, okay.
You're the nearest person.
No, I'm just, you know, I've seen that a long time. I really think it should be, you talk about trade-offs. I'm just bringing up the point. I just brought this up when I was, you know, chairman up there, so. As well as things.
Yeah.
It's a matter of capacity and getting the buses out near the outlying areas, not to meet people riding it, but when it gets closer to town, you have a lot of people looking on the bus there. So that, you know, it's hard to adjust the times and get the capacities. So we have actually had a lot of increase come in on the weekends. So we've actually added these longer buses to weekend service, Sunday mornings. It's kind of interesting.
I know you had to take buses back into the hub.
Right.
You were trying to figure a way to do the circumference. you know, around Akron, you know, from Cuyahoga Falls to where it is. But anyway, okay, I had to bring it up. Sorry about that.
We're in the midst of a major restructuring study. We've got a new planning director on board, Valerie Shea, and she's reaching out to the public. We had some sessions at the Transit Center this past week, and we'll be doing more of that. So we'll be hearing more about that.
One of the problems that we talked about since he presented last time was, you know, there's a bus to Green, but it comes just a few times a day. Well, it's kind of hard to set up a transit corridor when it's only there a few times a day. So you either hit it or you don't. Whereas, you know, they're talking about doing a spine out there that would give you a bus every 20 minutes. Now, that's different. Now you have flexibility. When you go out there, you can get back all throughout the day. So I think those are the things that they're addressing that are going to make a huge difference for those corridors where you need to move people, right? Because you just can't do it on a few buses a day. It just doesn't work.
Right. And that's true even with the comment about timing of businesses opening and starting. A lot of the communities just for the road network have asked the businesses over the years to stagger starts, just so you can move car traffic as well. So the answer is not moving all the start times to the same, because then you end up with road networks that need to be completely updated. So I think you got to run the buses more often.
Well, it's a matter of getting the people to the buses, too. Not only do the buses have to get you to where you're going, but the people have to get to the buses. Not all of them live on a bus line.
Well, and that's the thing that they're already talking about. And if you've been to Europe, you know, they develop the transit lines, and then that's where the transit lines are, and people develop around the transit lines. What Metro was kind of doing was saying, well, we're going to cover every street. I mean, to some degree, and it's like, no, that doesn't work. Eventually, that just doesn't work. You have to establish your transit routes, and then people, the density is around those routes instead of trying to serve every street, right? It's just doesn't work. We've seen over the years how you have empty buses when you try to do it that way.
Plus, people in America, they are tuned into driving their own car. It's a small amount of people that actually use the buses, and it's what has made people come from the cities out to the suburbs. You know, we do, when we go in to visit businesses within the city, we ask them, where are your people from? And I get people all the way from Pennsylvania and as far away as Lorain and Elyria, because they can get on the turnpike, and the turnpike is a half hour, 45 minutes from everywhere. And there's no way that PARTA could serve
Youngstown. But how many of your businesses are saying that they can't get employees, and they're always looking for employees?
They are, all the time.
And transportation is a barrier.
But that's the whole point, is that not only do you have to be able to transport them to the city, but they have to be able to get from where they live, and a lot of them don't live on a transportation corridor.
Well, that has to change.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That we hear is that transportation is a barrier for people who live right there in Portage County to get to places that have jobs. And we know that. And we've even worked with Jobs and Family Services to try. I mean, there are pilot programs to work with us for demand response to get people to jobs on the demand response. And, you know, we've been trying to work through that. And we recognize that there's a barrier, and we can't be everything to everyone, but we know that there are a lot of people in Portage County, and I'm sure in Summit County, who are unemployed and just can't get the jobs that are available in their own county.
No, there's definitely no easy answer.
There's not.
You can't go pick someone up out on street or road up in Taylorsville Township and transport them to downtown Kent. You know, you just can't. You know, you just can't do something like that.
And that's what the problem is. That there are people just out, you know, that are, you know, up in Paris and need a job but can't get into Streetsboro to get to a job that they probably be available to get to, but they're not on a bus line.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I think is just really important or interesting is that, you know, that's 50% of our trade economy is. I mean, it is. That's what shows. It's really regional. It's spread out. I mean, it's, you know, from Streetsboro, Aurora, to Akron, to Green, we have these job hubs that really are what is, you know, basically the crux of our employment in our region. And so from that perspective of identifying it, knowing where it is, and knowing how we can better serve it, from any kind of transportation, whether it's a better, stronger road network, improving safety, improving congestion, improving transit, I think it's good that we identify them and we're comfortable saying, yeah, these are places where know, that's a lot of our community's income comes from. A lot of our residents work at those places. And I think to me, that's what I found most interesting in this is that, you know, there's not one job hub. There's 12 job hubs, and almost every community has a piece of one or a part of one, and that's what makes them important to our region.
If you look at the Twinsburg area, I mean, Twinsburg has Twinsburg, Macedonia, Glen Willow, and Solon. There's how many jobs are in that area? Tens of thousands, you know. And then you look at us in Aurora. Our industrial parks straddle each other, and there's thousands of jobs in there. And you know, it makes it difficult for those people that are seeking employment to get that, you know.
Well, Curtis, I think in conjunction where your business activity is, it probably needs to be somewhat of a focus too on how we spend money in urban development. Well, so you know, we should be focusing on areas where you can concentrate people that can be moved, as opposed to just putting them where you have land and then not figuring out how to be able to move them, right? So that has to be part of the equation.
Thank you. I appreciate you all listening. I think it's an interesting topic.
Quite a question.
Just a quick question.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll send it out.
Website.
Mm-hmm. We can put it on our website. We'll send out a link.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marie, for your input. Item number 6, resolutions. Resolution 2017-10R, approving amendment number 2 to the Transportation Improvement Program fiscal year 2018-2021. Rescheduling projects to fiscal year 2018 for Metro RTA and FARTA, revised motion required. Attachment 6A.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These projects are being rescheduled at the request of the Federal Transit Administration. Full federal funding became available only on July 10th of this year after the end of the fiscal year on June 30th. Since the old CIP expired on June 30th, the projects scheduled in fiscal year 2017 or before were no longer considered to be active in the current TIP. Therefore, these projects couldn't simply be rescheduled. They had to be added back into the current TIP. The current fiscal year is fiscal year 2018, and the new TIP took effect on July 1st. Resolution 2017-10 has since been revised following the mail out because of further discussions between the Metro RTA, ODOT Office of Transit, and the Federal Transit Administration. Four additional projects were asked to be rescheduled to fiscal year 2018, and one project was removed from the resolution because it had already been filed by the deadline of July 1st. FARTA's request remains the same as the original mail out, 2017-10. So now we have 2017-10R, which is consistent with the regional transportation plan's financially constrained air quality neutral and meets requirements for public involvement and environmental justice. The staff is requesting approval of resolution 2017-10R. And we would be pleased to answer any questions.
Hearing and seeing none, entertain a motion to approve.
And I so moved.
Second. And I have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same. Hearing none, motion carries. Moving forward, 6B, Resolution 2017-11, approving the fiscal year 2017 year-end completion report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 6B, the purpose of the attached resolution is to approve the fiscal year 2017 year-end completion report so we can transmit it to ODOT for their review. We do this annually, and then we meet with ODOT in October in order to finalize the fiscal year, which ended on June 30th. Within Attachment 6B is a financial summary for all the work elements scheduled during the last fiscal year. In summary, staff budget was approximately $1.8 million, with a large balance left over due to our shortage of staff last year. That remainder, approximately $582,000, is available for this fiscal year's use through December 31st. A number of significant products and activities were accomplished during the last fiscal year, such as the inputs to the 2040 Regional Transportation Plan, the plan itself, the allocation and management of federal funds, including a new TIP, the traffic counting program, high crash locations report, participation in the statewide CMAC program, management of the Connecting Communities Planning Grant program, as well as bicycle and pedestrian advocacy. All planning work for fiscal year 2017 was completed and expenditures were within the budgeted amounts. The staff recommends approval of resolution 2017-11.
Hearing and seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed the same. Hearing none, motion carries. Item 6C, resolution 2017-12, approving amendment number 3 to the Transportation Improvement Program fiscal year 2018 to 2021 by adding 5 new projects.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, this resolution adds 5 new projects to the 2018-2021 TIP, 4 ODOT projects, and 1 Akron-sponsored project. I'll just briefly go over the projects. The first one is State Route 5, a slide repair in Portage County with construction scheduled in fiscal year 18. State Route 43 is a street furrow project. This is adding engineering in fiscal year 2018, which will be paid for with highway safety improvement funds. State Route 305 and 700 is a resurfacing project in Hiram and Hiram Township. This is being added because MS is adding $10,720 of STBG money to reconstruct some curb ramps, which is in accordance with our pavement repair and rake program. Evans Avenue Railroad Grade Separation is an Akron-sponsored project. This is a new bridge over the CSX railroad tracks in Akron on Evans Avenue. Construction is scheduled in fiscal year 2018 using nearly $6 million in discretionary funds. And the last one is Interstate 77 224. This is a project to add engineering in fiscal year 2018, 2019, and 2020. This is a sizable project to add add travel lanes on I-77 between Arlington and US 224, and then also to widen the ramp to 2 lanes from 77 northbound to 277 westbound. So this is engineering only, and this project uses $4.5 million all 3 years in track funds. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Move to adopt. I have a motion to adopt. Do I have a second? I have multiple seconds. I have a motion and multiple seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same? Hearing none. Motion carried. Item number 7, other business, formation of 2018 nominating committee.
So Mayor Braska, we do is we ask for a couple of volunteers to work with the current chairman to nominate new committee members for 2018. So we'd be asking for one or two people to volunteer to help make those nominations.
Come on.
Well, I know.
Let's go.
Let's see.
I'll volunteer. Forcefully, my back hurts.
You're willing to as well? All right. Okay. We'll shoot an email. And
which mayor? I'm sorry.
Mayor's about. Excellent. We have an anomaly.
Outstanding. Anything for the good of the order?
Move to adjourn.
Second. I have a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same? We are adjourned.